Follow me and ponder the question. What if?
Hello, Swamp Kittens, and welcome back to another Everything's Fine and Totally Cool and Normal version of I Want My MCU TV with me, Lisa Schmeiser. And joining me tonight, as usual, are Kelly Gamont and Don Melton.
Brain.
If my charming co-host's corporeal condition didn't tip you in, tonight we will be discussing season one, episode 5 of Marvel's What If series, which is basically titled What If Zombies. Longtime listeners and first-time listeners of this podcast will be pleased to note we are sticking with the usual podcast formula, albeit with one tiny key change. As you know, the podcast is divided into three segments. The first segment is our remix segment, where we discuss what was changed in this What If universe to prompt the alternate storyline. Our second segment is the react segment, where we react to the episode. And for tonight, our third segment is the reanimation segment, where we break down the zombie trope and maybe see how this stacks up to other giants of the genre. All right.
So what if we swapped out one third of the podcast?
What if? Well, see if this gets Jeffrey Wright to come in and comment with, I can't say anything, but universe, blip, 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 then we're fine.
See, the reason we're not doing really this week is
none of us read Marvel Zombies.
Yeah, no, none of us read Marvel Zombies. So I got nothing.
Yeah.
Just go to Wikipedia, for God's sakes, people.
Yeah, it's Marvel and it's filled with zombies, I guess.
Pretty much.
All right. Anyway, let's get to the remix portion of things, because I have a remix proposal for you guys, and I think it's up for debate and discussion. Okay.
Wicca, wicca, wicca. What?
Very nice. So Uatu is all, what if Janet Van Dyne hadn't gotten her little brain virus in the quantum realm and brought back zombiedom to, you know, this dimension, and they all turned into zombies, right? That's like, he alleges over the course of the episode, that's the thing that changes. If this is true, it's our second episode hinging around the screwed up Van Dyne family dynamics.
Yes.
But note that I say, if this is true, and the reason I'm all if is I want to point out a couple things that I noticed off the bat when we started this episode. Number one, when the episode basically starts off aping the same sequence of events that you see at the beginning of Avengers Endgame, Avengers Infinity War, when Bruce Banner is bifrosted the heck away from the Thanos massacre and through Doctor Strange's front window, right?
Yeah.
So that's where we start. And this time, the instead of interrupting a lively discussion about deli sandwiches, he falls into an empty house. And when he gets up and dresses himself in some of Wong's cow stuffs and wanders the streets, he runs into an Iron Man who is already hooked up with Doctor Strange and Wong. All three of them are zombified. This diverges already from the movie, where like it's pretty much established that they all meet each other at this time, largely because when Bruce falls into Stephen Strange's house, he's like, do you have an emergency contact person I can call for pickup? And that's how we get to Tony Stark, right?
Yeah, this doesn't make a lot of sense to me that
right?
Those three would be there, especially when
I'm getting to that, right? Because then when you get to the what if, here's how the Avengers got infected thing, if you take a look at who's in the Avengers lineup, it includes Hawkeye, Black Widow, Black Panther, Iron Man, and Captain America. And what that implies is that either Civil War didn't happen and the band got together in some other way, mm-hmm. or it happened and got remixed very differently. So I put it to you, my fellow Swamp Kittens, on this here podcast, that the what if is not, in fact, what if Janet Van Dyne hadn't chomped on her husband in the I was going to say in the nether zone, and that just sounds terrible. What if Janet Van Dyne?
Well, we didn't see it happen. For all we know, that's how it went down.
Well, you know.
But what? But my point is not the what if Janet Van, like Janet being a zombie is not the what if in this universe. Mm-mm. The what if actually starts earlier when you find out that the Avengers has an expanded roster and you don't have the Civil War shenanigans, and they all met in a different capacity. This world was fundamentally different even before the zombies came in. That's my thesis.
I agree with you. I also want to point out how incredibly stupid and unlikely it is that the Avengers who got zombified on the West Coast are somehow now on the East Coast. And what?
Well, I just wish to take issue with the fact that we get a nice, beautifully animated landscape of the Golden Gate Bridge when we get voiceover about the Pacific Northwest. Because no.
No, that's not fair. That's not fair to you guys.
That's not fair to... That 100% of this podcast, because
I was going to say that would be like having a beautiful scene from Balboa Park in San Diego and being like, meanwhile, in the city by the bay, and you're all, it's several hundred miles to the north. Knock it off.
Yes.
West Coast Avenging Podcast here. Not cool with it.
Literally neither here nor there, just so we can get that on tape. Yes.
Anyway. Right. So we're going to move on to the reaction stuff real quick, because we just remixed and we came to the agreement that what Uatu says is the what if in this episode is not in fact the what if, like it actually starts much earlier. And here's what I'm going to put to you,
I'm morally obligated to interject here that I'm going to go ahead and guess that what Uatu said was true from a certain point of view.
Well, what I'm going to say is this is not the first episode where we have quibbled with what the actual fulcrum point is.
Oh, we spent a half an hour on that last episode.
Exactly.
I know.
And you could actually argue that in the episode where Hank Pym serial kills the Avengers, the what if is not, in fact, what if the Avengers die, but it is actually what if Hope Van Dyne joined S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
So we're looking at three episodes in a row where Uatu has claimed one, this is the event that changed everything. But that event would not have been made possible if there had not been other events that diverged from our little MCU reality further back down the line. So here's the question I'm going to put to you guys about that.
Yes.
One, is Uatu really bad at his job? Or like, and this is what, like, this is who he's talking to, is he's talking to the boss who's put him on a PIP, and he's like, no, boss, I swear, I've got it right. Here is my work. You are the person off screen I keep talking to. Sorry. Just imagine poor Uatu like in a cubicle going through this. Or number two, is Uatu like deliberately misleading somebody and trying to get them to see some call, like trying to get like watch the hand, and directing attention away from what the actual causal events are? Because I at this point, 3 out of 5 of the episodes have done the thing where this is the change. It's not the change.
It's not. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's what I think has happened. I think it's closer to what's behind door number one.
Yeah.
That clearly Uatu is, he's not watching all the time. He's out in the parking lot lighting up a hooter. He's just not paying attention. Because clearly that's not where it happens. I think, but let's back up to the meta here. Oh, wait a minute. Somebody writes these things.
Yeah.
And here's what's going on. They are being lazy. And this is something we did not see in WandaVision. We did not see in Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And we sure as Shinola didn't see in Loki, which crossed their T's and dotted their I's just crazily.
Yeah.
And I think this episode says it all when your title is Zombies. You know, you're kicking back. You know, you're just...
This is just don't think about it too hard?
Yeah, don't think about it too hard. It gets to my point is like, how the heck did Cap, zombified Cap, figure out how to get on the East Coast and get on that train. Where the heck has he been?
Sharon's in this episode, and she's hooked up with Bucky, and like they're why, how, yeah. What? Like this suggests that the Civil War events either didn't take place or played out very differently.
Yes.
And it's also super hazy to me, because if you know that Hank is a zombie and then he gets called to the West Coast, like, wouldn't Hope have dropped a dime all, hey, you've got to watch out. My dad with his shrinking technology happens to be running around and I couldn't put him in a jar in time. or like what, whatever. Like there's a lot about this that's just like a little bit sloppy, I think. And I can't, like, and at this point, I don't consider Uatu to be a reliable narrator anymore. Oh, so I wonder
not.
So I wonder how much of the sloppiness is deliberate and how much of it is going to come back later as a plot point when like a bunch of those other disturbingly toddler proportioned watcher weirdos are all, Uatu, you're just really bad at this. We reviewed the Ring camera and the desk footage and it's awful, you know?
This is my theory, is that the story group, for lack, I don't know what they're called. I apologize in advance to anyone who I'm offending
brain
by completely
trust. Let's call
mangling
them the brain trust.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm totally mangling like whoever it is that's in charge of this sort of stuff. But I have a hard time believing that the same group of people who gave overall on a higher level, you know, gave us the other series are the people who gave us this series, and that it's sloppy. So something is happening, something Uatu based is happening. I don't know what, and I don't know how yet. I wasn't a big fan of this episode. We'll talk about it. I mostly because I didn't feel like the pieces I thought were uninteresting. I don't think that the pieces that I enjoyed outweighed the other pieces that just sort of seemed boring or uninteresting in some way, like didn't advance any sort of plot. And this one gave me another, like, I want to know what happens way more in the episode after this than the one that I saw. And that's, I think that's the part of this that hangs me up. And I think what's going to happen is when we get to the end, it's going to make more sense that something is going on. Maybe Uatu's really bad at his job and Uatu's Lumberg is going to show up. And
I need GPS reports, and yeah, T stands for time in this case.
Yeah. Has gotten a good look at his GPS report and is like, dude, yeah, I'm going to need you to come in on Saturday. And that it's going to end up being that somehow Uatu, like we said before, like, he's going to end up being a bigger piece of the story than we originally thought. And I've continued to file this away in the back of my head after Swamp Kitten Alex hit us up on Twitter and was like, who is he talking to?
Yeah.
And I continue to think about that and more about his place in this story. Mm. And the reason for that is because he's going to end up being more than the narrator by the time we're done, is my guess. It is very likely wrong.
He had better be more than the narrator by the time, or I'm going to be very honked off.
Wait. We need to just pause for a moment, because I really want us to just repeat honked off and appreciate that phrase. I love it. I love it so much.
That is now officially part of the MCU TV vocabulary. Honked off.
Oh, Swamp Kittens. All you have to do from now on is when someone's ticking off, I'm just really honked off, you'll say.
Yes.
Please, please use this in the wild and report back to us. I love it so much.
We wish to know your success.
You would not believe the effort I'm making not to make this an R-rated podcast.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I do an R-rated podcast with you, Don, and I absolutely appreciate that effort. as the editor of the G-rated version, I thank you for making it, keeping it the G-rated version. I think we're going to get more out of this, and I'm pretty sure I have a supporter in that theory from the president of the Jeffrey Wright fan club, who, again, I also do a podcast with. And I don't know what all we're going to get out of this. And part of the reason that I'm curious about how it's going to play out is because of all the pieces that we have to fit together. Because one of the things that was sort of nifty about the what if stuff when it was a comic was it was sort of a one shot. It didn't have any consequence. It didn't ripple out into anything. There was no other effect from one of the what ifs. It was literally somebody thought it would be funny to flip this thing inside out or tell an interesting story by changing this one element of whatever it is. And that was the basis of the comics. And so that's the thing that I keep wondering about is what exactly we're going to get out of the end of this, because I feel like they want it to be a complete story. We've had way more Ant-Man and Ant-Man adjacent content than we've had in a while.
I feel like you're teeing up the movies. And here's why I say that is we've had five episodes.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But we've had five episodes so far. And of those five episodes, we've had Bucky in three of them at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them. I can remember him in two.
He's been in three.
He's been in three.
This one is the third. Yeah.
Yeah. And we've had Wakandans in two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
We have a callback to WandaVision, for lack of a better phrase, in this episode itself, because this time, instead of it being Wanda committing gross human rights violations because of love and bereavement, it's Vision committing gross human rights violations because of love and bereavement.
Yes.
So we've got the tie into Wanda's magic and how it's amplified, both its good effects and its bad effects are amplified by love. We've gotten two Doctor Strange callouts at this point, like
And two Bruce Banner callouts.
And two Bruce Banner callouts. And yeah.
Three Captain America callouts.
And we've now got, and the thing is, we've now got a Spider-Man in the mix too.
Yes.
By the way, voiced by a absolute dead on Tom Holland sound alike. That Very was good. Not Tom Holland, by the way.
Where I was going with this was, it feels to me that what they're doing is it's more multiversey stuff. For example, I'm not ready to drop my theory off at your home like I'm sending him to college, but I am a little bit wondering if if Uatu isn't talking to Kang.
Oh, you need to get that theory enrolled in a second term.
Like I have to put it through prep school and make sure it's got like really good extracurriculars. But look, Jonathan Majors seems like the kind of guy who would gladly do the voice work. And it would be super fun if it turns out that Uatu is talking to him and it turns out that either he's trying to work against he who shall not be named, because he's like, oh my God, this guy is crazier than a sack of Port-a-John rats, or also trying to keep it G-rated here.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah.
And so it's possible that he's like, all right, this guy is just you can see the eyes swirling in two different directions. I have to like just mislead him as long as possible because plan B in the wings. Or it's entirely possible that they're having this conference and they're both like, yes, you're right. The best thing to do is to set the Lokis into making the multiverse happen. You know, I'm open to anything. So, but I think this is worth considering is they introduced the multiverse in the Loki series. There's been at least an oblique call out to WandaVision and her chaos magic. We had a big call out to chaos magic in the Doctor Strange destroys his own universe thing, because his magic went from green to red, which is, ooh, it's chaos magic.
And we do know, like I pointed out last episode in the previews, that we will get a revisitation of that particular nutso Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Because there are things that we haven't seen yet with him and a scene with him and Captain Carter. So they could, to get back to Kelly's point, they could be rounding the corner. These are not stupid one-offs. Amusing though some parts of them are, very few of them hold together as a whole. You know, they're just not. This one is probably the most disjointed, and it's hard to tell the tone, especially when you have Paul Rudd making dead dad jokes, oh, as God, he that says. Was so funny. They're very funny, but
so you know it. I actually have a huge timeline nitpick with this episode too, which is when we start off. You know, poor Bruce Banner is bifrosted back to Earth. He's all Thanos is coming, right?
Yes.
And then you get the rejoice for the children of the. I love that guy. I love his whole rejoice shtick. It's just delightful to me. Like the man cannot read a room to save his life, and God love him for it. But what
about the mouth of Sauron who follows Thanos around,
for the
right?
Time is at hand. Yes. So, but you know, Bruce Banner was not saying, oh, zombie Thanos is after you. Like the zombies were a surprise to him, right?
Yeah.
And then the cliffhanger on this is you see zombie Thanos somehow with his little gauntlet intact, having raised all sorts of places with armies of zombies behind him. And my question is, how did the virus jump to space? What happened? And how fast did it happen? What kind of timeline are we looking at here? This is so unclear to me. Because even if Thanos was like, hello, Call Obsidian, give me mission report. Like, it would still take some time to zombify the rest of the universe, wouldn't it?
He didn't have a completed infinity gauntlet in that thing, if you notice.
No, he was still missing the Mind Stone, but the implication was he was going to bring the fight down to Wakanda, him and his army of zombie robot dogs or whatever.
Yeah, and why would zombies even do that? Right?
Well, yeah. Well, this is another thing I'm not clear on. Hey, let's move to the reanimation discussion, because I feel like we're now getting into a zombie discussion. And let's have the zombie discussion and talk about what's going on with these zombies here. Like, how much thought do they have? What is the point of them? What's going on?
Before we get there, I just want to tee up because I went and got the schedule. So here's the next batch, we'll say, of movies. So we've got Shang-Chi, which is out now. Next up is The Eternals in November. And then we get Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man, in December, No Way Home. Mm-hmm. And then Doctor Strange in March, Thor in May, Black Panther in July. The Marvels is next November. And then these are allegedly in the rest of the list is in chronological order. I'm looking at Marvel.com and it shows the movies. And so all of these have dates on them. And then The Marvels is November 11th. And then after that, it says Blade. There's no date. And then Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, which I'm never going to remember because Quadrophenia is a way better name. That's in February of 2023. And then after that, it says Fantastic Four and there's no date. So this is what we know so far. So of the things they're teeing up, and I know some of what we're getting, some of the order that we're getting on Disney Plus has been determined by some of this. And additionally, some of the movie releases have been shuffled by pandemic. So there's a chance that not all of this is lining up quite the way they wanted it to. Yeah. But
I really feel like the Falcon and the Winter Soldier would have gotten a stronger reception if it had come before WandaVision.
Yes.
Because then you would have had the easy transition from one series rooted in bureaucratic hijinks to another where, you know, S.W.O.R.D. is on the scene. You're like, oh, of course, this is where we go. Here we go.
Getting like at this point, I almost said Doctor Who, Doctor Strange is breathing down our necks because we get him in December. I don't know if he's going to show up in the Eternals or not. We haven't really seen a whole lot of anyone but the Eternals themselves who show up in that film. So we don't know anything about if we're getting any of the Marvel characters that we're familiar with, or at least I haven't looked very closely to know if we're getting any of those.
Maybe a post-credit scene. Before we get into the reanimation, I want to do a small really segment here to remind everybody. Yeah, yes, really.
Really?
And it goes into reanimation here, that the actual Marvel Zombies title, and they actually, that's what the comic was called, was written by Robert Kirkman, who also gave us The Walking Dead.
And that's why. Yeah.
Yes. And so he had a he had a style of zombie that he stuck to for that, and that he stuck to for The Walking Dead, and that is in here. This is the slow, mindless brains zombie that sometimes has a little burst of speed or stupidity or whatever like that. So for me to get into reanimation, I'm not a big fan of straight zombie movies. I think I'm just surprised, like vampire movies, that this whole genre isn't dead already.
Well, it's not. Sorry. See, yes, is the big, thing. You
know, it can't ever
yes,
die.
Yes, I know.
It will never die.
I know. I admit that as a joke. but I do like zombie comedies for some strange reason, because I can't take zombies seriously. They just never scared me. But you know, who doesn't love, you know, Shaun of the Dead, Fido, and Zombieland, right? So my three that I always hold up there as those, everything has to be measured against those three for humor and quality. But those three also use the same type of zombies that we're seeing here.
Sort of the classic zombie, I guess, for
the
lack
classic
of a better term.
The classic George Romero zombie. Right?
See, I actually really like the film 28 Days Later, which has like fast, mean zombies.
Yes.
Yes.
And the reason I liked it was precisely because it was fast, mean zombies and not the lurching brains. fast zombies terrify me. Like slow zombies, you're like, just dig a pit, line it with rock, line it with sticks, fine. or you're like, string some piano wire at intervals. They will decapitate themselves as they walk towards you. Problem solved, right? That's your slow zombie. That's your slow zombie fix. Your fast zombies, you're like, oh, no. You know,
and then
you're done. So I really liked 28 Days Later and the sequel 28 Weeks Later, which features Hawkeye actor. Oh, that's another one. We've had multiple Hawkeye appearances in these what ifs, so I feel like they're softening the audience for that series. Anyway 28 Weeks Later has a pre-Avengers Jeremy Renner is like one of the dudes in the movie too. It's very action movie. I like it a lot.
So what did you, speaking of fast zombies, one that I will actually watch because I like the idea and parts of the script and the actors, World War Z.
Oh my gosh. I'm embarrassed to say that I've never actually seen it.
Oh goodness, really?
Okay. I have not. And I think part of it is there are children in peril. And when it came out, I had a very young kid at the time, and it took years before I could watch children in peril things.
That'll do it. Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, that'll do it.
So I have so far stayed away from it. Also, I read the Max Brooks stuff. The zombie. So I wrote World War Z and Oral History of the Zombie. I read World War Z, which I thought was a bright and amusing read. well, it was. I'm a sucker for oral histories, and I like it too.
Yeah,
I like that stuff too.
I liked it too. I just again, I feel like I'm obligated here. Agents of Smooch did an episode about Shaun of the Dead for last Halloween. So if you would like to hear incomparable panelists, including myself, talk about the romantic elements and some of the romantic relationships in that rom-com that also has zombies, you can check out that episode of Agents of Smooch. I feel like we need to get that plug in there. I'm not generally a big zombie person either. And I think that's another reason why this episode kind of wasn't my jam. Even though the parts of it I liked, I thought were really, really fun, like Peter and Happy and like getting to kind of see, for once we've seen some fallout in our heroes, right? Like we're seeing Peter talk about it being really hard and like, I can't lose any more people. And seeing kind of how profoundly that's affecting him. And we haven't seen, We haven't seen anywhere near as much of that as there should be for what's happening in any of the movies. But we also haven't seen a lot. We haven't seen near as much as I feel like, you know, we could anyway. So that was one of the things that I did like about this, was a little bit of character development and remembering, like, you know, yeah, Earth's Mightiest Heroes. One of them's a high school kid. And like, you know, like he's already kind of been through some stuff before he went to space even. So like there's a whole lot going on in that respect as well, that which is part of the episode that I really enjoyed. So I wasn't super big on the zombie bits of it, but I did find Paul Rudd just delightful in this. In every terrible joke, I enjoyed them all. Yes.
Did they just let him riff, or did they write those? I wonder.
Yes.
I have no idea, but other than Tom Holland not being in the voice cast, every other actor was. Well, they, for the truly zombied ones that were going, they didn't have the original actors.
It'd be super funny if Chris Evans just like, I phoned in with, and they're like, yeah. And can you imagine like all the entertainment blogs, Chris Evans to return as Captain America? And it's literally, I mean, the same way they had Chris Hemsworth do that.
I was just thinking of
Frog Thor.
Frog Thor. So, yeah.
You know, while you're here making frog noises, could we get you to maybe growl like a zombie for a minute?
Yeah. No Thor in this universe. One presumes that either. I have so many questions because, this points again to like a weird Avengers landscape pre or post Civil War. But to get back to like, I've read somewhere that every era gets like the horror monsters that reflect the overall anxieties of the era and things like that. And it was kind of fascinating that for a while it was vampires, and then zombies became very, very big. Like starting, like The Walking Dead is a TV series debuted in November 2010. Mm-hmm. And I feel like zombies have had an amazing run since. Like there's been flash mobs of zombies and all sorts of stuff. And I wanted to ask you guys, what was it like to watch a movie about the effects of a wide-ranging, highly contagious pandemic while we are living in the U.S. in 2021 during a wide-ranging, highly contagious pandemic? Like, did it affect how you looked at the zombies at all? Or were you looking at this and going, oh, we'd all be toast? Or, you know?
Well, I think the zombies do typify your hardcore holdout unvaccinated quite nicely. So there are a lot of parallels there. I thought about it briefly, but not so much, because I don't think the writers were going for that. They weren't going for any parallels that way at all, as near as I could tell, which would have been fun if they had made it a meta commentary.
Yeah.
In the end, the meta commentary was about love. And I'm like, seriously? And, you know, they kind of like with that, the ball is still teed up there in the box, and they threw the club, you know, down the fairway. I've actually seen people do this. Just total whiff.
Yeah.
I'm very disappointed.
Yeah, the thing I was a little bit confused about with the theme is love, is I was like, the theme that we've seen in these what is consistently is that love will just jack you up, because you've got Hank Pym gone mad with it.
Mm-hmm.
And effectively creating an environment where an invading force can occupy the planet. And then Doctor Strange destroys an entire universe for it.
Yep.
And in this case, it brings on a zombie apocalypse. So, yeah. Like, why for Marvel? Why for, you know, let the people have the nice feelings?
Yeah.
Why for you don't let why what for I'm you don't let them
is
love?
If you don't have daddy issues, like, you're screwed, I guess, is the situation here.
If you yearn for human connection, you get what's coming to you.
Yeah, you're gonna get one. And that, like, that doesn't seem like, I mean, that does seem very appropriate for a show that I'm watching in the United States in 2021, I'm not gonna lie. But it doesn't strike me as the fundamentally optimist message that is what I've tended to generally expect from a lot of things that Marvel puts out. And I think so, I'm curious where this is gonna end up. And part of it is not just for the love piece, but also, like, I was kind of thinking about who we got in this one, and we've got more Ant-Man. Ant-Man and Pym family and all of that. And so, and Janet Van Dyne. And that's the part that I've been sort of wondering about, is because we've gotten, we've got two episodes that were not focused, but they were definitely prominent in. And I thought that was sort of surprising. I did think it was also surprising to me anyway, that Vision was the one in this. Cause when he popped up, I was very surprised to see him. I was then also surprised that it was him who had done it in. I did figure it out before he told us.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. But it was, I was thinking about that, and mostly this just makes me hopeful that one of our episodes is going to have some Agent Wong in it. If we're going to get all our Ant-Man folks, you know, in an animated series. So I'm sort of looking forward to that. And I know that's totally one for the house, but I'm an optimist. Let me have this one.
Yeah.
because I will always be happy with more Agent Wong, but I was sort of wondering if what that was teeing up. Cause, like, I know we get Doctor Strange in the Spider-Man movie. I know we get Doctor Strange in his own movie, which is literally the one after that. I'm presuming we'll see him in other stuff. So we're going to get a bunch of Doctor Strange. So I wondered what all the Pym and Van Dyne tee up was bringing us. So
I have no idea. Now, I was optimistic last week that things were starting to come together. With
when we got the end of the world,
when I noticed that the they couldn't possibly be done with Strange because of a scene we saw in the preview, and because Watu actually interacted with somebody in the episode.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, what did I call him? Bad Rod Serling.
yes.
So I thought, you know, maybe there was some there, but after this, I'm like, no, you know, I'm not sure if there's any there. If there is any point to this, because the first three series we got, they, you know, you could take issue with things in those series. And we did in a revisitation of all three and comparing them and whatever. Because you got to rank everything always, because we're freaking Americans.
It's either that or put it all in brackets.
There you go.
I mean, it's like, or it's quotes. March Madness. Yes.
Quotes. But
we're nerds. March Madness.
Yeah, but those shows had a, you know, beginning, you know, the whole series had beginning, middles, of ends, and they had reasons for existing.
Yeah.
And so somebody's got to explain to me what the heck they're doing here. If it's just one-offs like the comics, there was a reason I didn't read those.
And it's because you hate alternate histories.
Well, no. Yeah. There's quite a few alternate histories that I do love, but they're not alternate histories of other fiction.
Okay.
So alternate histories of real events. Well, that's interesting, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what speculative fiction really is. But alternate histories of, you know, this is like bad fanfic. And so
I remember that being your assessment at a time when we first got into this particular series, about not necessarily enjoying stuff like that in the first place. So I do remember that.
Yeah. So
I'm sorry, Don, I had conflated alternate histories of fiction with alternate histories of history.
Yeah,
that was my mistake.
No, it's so anyway, I'm just you know, I'm manic depressive here. This is my depressive episode. Maybe they'll redeem it next week. Does anybody know what next week's episode is about?
So initially, when I was looking at the description for this week, it was supposed to be what if Thor was on Earth, but he was still worthy of the hammer? So like when I went to watch this, I'm like, I don't see any Thor or hammers. I just see zombies. So it's entirely possible that we'll get what if Thor but hammer next week. But they've been really, really good about not releasing episode descriptions or screen grabs or anything like that. So what I think was not interesting, but what I think was notable about this episode is it firmly cements Uatu's unreliability as a narrator. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the show creators are trying to send a message with 3 out of 5 episodes have ended on horrible world-ending cliffhangers.
Yeah.
And this is, and there are 9 episodes, we have 4 left. So we are clearly in like the act 2 of the arc here. So either next week is the culmination of act 2 or it begins like a long slide down. Who knows? I don't think we're going to get like a big final episode like we did with WandaVision or Falcon and the Snowman or Loki. I think what we might get is like a no way reveal at the very end. Yeah. But there's 2 seasons of this already, I believe. Like, They've already committed to a second season.
A second season. And that's sort of why what I think put this in my brain about watching the next episode of this particular story in a couple of episodes is because I wonder if they are set up to be 2-parters, and maybe a certain number of this season is going to come back in season 2 and we're going to get the second piece of that story. And then some of them are going to just be the one shots.
Because I'm also wondering, because if you've got something like, Ego is now big trouble because he managed to grab his son. Mm-hmm. But you have a fun version of the Ravagers who now include a T'Challa-like figure. Like, that could be fun. Like,
that
just
would be
imagine,
super fun.
Like, just imagine the surviving Avengers all Thanos! And we're like, yeah, we know he likes to garden. So, because part of me is like, maybe what they're doing with these is they will leave the door open for some of these tag ends of universes to fall into other universes.
Yeah.
And then it will be a big mess to sort out. And won't that be fun? So,
yeah. And that's kind of what I was wondering, because I don't, just because I know there's another season and I know that Super Soldier Carter is confirmed as something that happens in the next season. That was sort of what made me wonder if maybe some of the, like, a select few of these are going to be two-part stories, and we get the rest of it in season 2 as sort of a double size issue, and then we're done with them. And then, like, some of the ones we get in season 2, if they deem them so worthy, you know, those become 2-parters that head into season 3 or something. So that's what I was wondering about.
I'm definitely there for Captain Carter in season 2, but
yes,
if season 2 is more of this, then I'm going to try to convince you that we should go back and cover another series, like maybe Columbo. I don't know.
Oh, is this finally when we get to do the Inhumans?
Oh, man. You're just, no, this is better.
No,
than
I was
the
really
Inhumans.
Just thinking about watching Columbo with the 2 of you. That would be super fun.
Gosh,
I mean,
would be fun.
Yeah. So, you know, and for the membership drive, we'll do the Rockford File.
So what I want to suggest to you is we've now gotten to the point where we're talking about everything except the episode.
The actual episode.
And we've gotten back into what if, but content strategy. So, so let's put a pin in this episode. Listeners, we would love to hear your thoughts on this episode. Did you love it? Did you hate it? Are you as disgusted with how badly Uatu does his job as the rest of us are? Please let us know. Kelly, you are the queen of the Twitters, so please let them know where they can hit us up on the Twitter face page, as my mom calls it.
And please, let me just point out, Alex, please keep commenting on the shows. I love your comments. I didn't reply, but I read it all. So,
yep. Always happy to mention it.
we have had conversations. So thank you, Swamp Kitten Alex, for giving us that. And I also need to give a special shout out to someone else who utilized our contact methods. And Hillary sent us a magnificent photo of a Swamp Kitten mural, which is a thing of beauty. And it is this majestic pink polka dotted murder lizard wearing a crown. It is a thing to behold. And I cannot tell you, Hillary, how much that made my day. So thank you, Hillary, for your the murder lizard content, which is what I always say is all murder lizard and murder lizard adjacent content. Lisa will gratefully accept it. And I know Lisa got the email because I heard it from here, and she lives in California and I live in Oregon. And I heard the reaction, when she opened the message. So thank you so much for that. You can find us on Twitter if you wish to talk, if you want to talk to us about your theories, if you have anyone that if you have any theories that you would like to submit to my house, you can do that at I Want My MCU TV. You can also get us at MCUTV@theincomparable.com if email is your jam. And please do. We would like that so much. And thank you, Swamp Kitten Mario, who also said who's very impressed with Don's Spanish speaking abilities. So I wanted to let you know.
Oh.
And Brent is very much enjoying Swamp Kitten Brent. I always want to say listener Brent. Swamp Kitten Brent.
They're all our beautiful swamp kittens.
Yes. All of you, we love all our swamp kittens the same, but we give shout outs to the ones who get in touch with us. And Brent has been going back through WandaVision and has been rewatching and was listening to us and then rewatching WandaVision as we talked about like all of our goofy ass ideas that we had during that show. So he thought that was a lot of fun and is one of our newer subscribers. So thank you, Brent. And also Swamp Kitten Dave Hay has proudly and publicly pronounced how happy he is to be a swamp kitten. So I'm just letting you know. Thank you, Dave Hay, because I don't think I've given you a shout out on the show until now. So there you go. And anyone else, all you have to do is give us a shout and whichever you prefer. We will get back to you and we'll make sure you get a shout out on the show as a result.
It's because
of you, our beautiful Kindle of swamp kittens.
Yes. It's because we're vain and shallow. We love that kind of attention. So
no,
bring it on.
So the collective noun for kitten is Kindle, as in it's a Kindle of kittens.
Really?
It is. Yes. Yes. And no, I love all the different like there's a shiver of sharks, the whole thing. And the collective noun for alligators is a congregation. So the survey question for you all this week, my beautiful swamp kittens, is are you all a congregation of swamp kittens or a kindle of swamp kittens? Let us know so we know how to refer to you at the end of each podcast like this. All right. And I'm going to wrap it up this week before we get back into whatever the heck it is we just talked about for half an hour.
Columbo.
It was not the episode. It was not the episode.
It was not.
No. And you know, sometimes that's okay too. With me this week were Don Melton.
Yo.
And Kelly Gamont.
Lisa, do you know what a vegan zombie says?
What does it say?
Grains.
Oh my god, I hadn't heard that.
Dad jokes.
Yes. Paul Rudd understudy Kelly Gamont saying thanks for having me on the show, Lisa.
Yes, and I'm Lisa Schmeiser. Have a great week, Swamp Kittens. We'll see you again soon.
Too bad this might spell the end of the world. But that's a story for another day.